got the volume in this relationship.
You do. Welcome to Empathy with Figs, your go-to podcast to help you feel more connected in your relationship. I'm Figs. I'm a relationship expert, couples therapist in San Francisco, and I'm joined today by my wife,
Teal.
Yes. And Teal, you are also a couples therapist.
I am. I'm a couples therapist.
And an expert.
I am a couples therapist.
Yeah.
And really happy to have that as my profession. Lucky, get to hear people's most vulnerable, beautiful parts.
Yeah. So I'm so glad you would be on the show today. And what we're going to talk about today is we're having a baby boy. Kian is going to be his name. And he's going to be with us in the world in 3 weeks from today.
Well, it could be five weeks.
Yeah, exactly. It could be 2 weeks. But yeah, the due date is June 6th, like, which is whatever. I don't even know what date today is. But it's in 3 weeks, exactly. 21 days from now, right?
That's right.
So here's what we wanted to do. Is we're going to like talk about what our intentions are and like longings and what we're excited about and our fears and our concerns and set some intentions for the birth.
Yeah, for the actual birth and sort of leading up into it. So I'm excited about doing this because, I mean, for a lot of reasons. One of them is that, and I know this is one of Figs and my intentions, is to create more time to talk about these important things. But yeah, here's the real deal. I just took a really big exam. Figs has been launching Empathy in these amazing podcasts, and we have a 3-year-old daughter. We're looking forward to doing this podcast because we need to have this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's kind of like we're I hate that expression, killing two birds with one stone. It's very violent, right? But yeah, that's what we're doing, right? We're having a conversation that you and I have to have, and we're also going to share it with the world.
The masses.
The like 5 people, you know, that are going to watch or listen. But, okay, so here's the thing. I, for sure, and I'm wondering what it's been like for you, this pregnancy has been very different for me, right, than with Grace, right? Because, look, I kind of forget that you're pregnant. Like, every now and again, I'll see you walking towards me or I'll see you across the room and I'll go, holy crap, that woman, my wife, Teal, that's a pregnant woman, you know? But, like, a lot of the times, I'm just not, my focus, quite frankly, has been on other things.
Right. Right. And I like when you see me... And you're just like shocked and you're like, oh my gosh, you're like always like, babe, you're so pregnant. And
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, I haven't forgotten.
Right, I know. Well, that's like, I can feel bad about like, you know, it not being as big a priority. With Grace, you know, and so when we were pregnant with our first daughter, who's 3 years old now, right? Like, I literally, there wasn't a moment of the day that it wasn't the most important thing. Like, I often joke about, like, I'd be going for coffee, and, you know, the person behind the counter is like, what do you want? And I'd be like, what do I want? How can you ask me a question like, what do I want, when my wife is 8 months pregnant? We're going to have a baby any minute. What do you mean, what do I want for coffee? But, like, whereas this time, like, literally, it's like, oh, yeah, Americana. It has been very different. But to your point, like, you passed your licensing exam just like a couple of days ago.
Woohoo!
Yes. Right? Woo! So that is a huge hurdle done that we needed to get done. You needed to get done, like, you know, for our family before baby Kian arrived.
Right.
Right. So that's amazing. That's just now, like, we've got like a clear runway of like being able to focus that we're about to have a baby.
Baby. Right. It's so great. And now, you know what? I mean, I don't think I've gone into a real negative place. Like, oh, we haven't been focused on this, and this is right. this has been a real tragedy. It's really like we have hit the ground running.
Yeah.
I'm proud of us. I think there is a little bit of, you know, potentially there's some grief and like in my own process of like, oh my gosh, I was preoccupied in studying right. this whole pregnancy and yeah. I haven't been super pregnant or present with you or Grace or maybe even my pregnancy. Now I have these 3 or 5 luscious weeks of focus and nesting and a lot yeah. of self-care. And I'm proud of us for continuing and really doing powerful things. So yeah. we've challenged ourselves. And, you know, I think we've both got some excitements and some fears about the impending birth
right,
process.
Exactly.
So let's...
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. So yeah. this, like, here's what I kind of wanted to do is I wanted to introduce this process. I think could be useful for no matter what issue is pending or what issue is difficult in your relationship. And it's just basically a series of questions that you can apply to whatever's happening in your life, where you can take turns to actually explore inside yourself and listen to your partner regarding a particular issue. So let me, I'll just go through what I like, we'll just like the 3 questions, right? And that maybe today, just like we, I'm gonna like, because Teal is the one that actually has to go through labor and birth our son, I'm gonna focus on you answering the questions. And I might just do a teeny bit of me.
Okay.
But really, this is really, my job is to be in support of you, right? And so that's like, I wanna like to try and, you know, be able to do that as best I can. So let me just say the 3 questions, right? So the first one, it's broad, is basically what are your longings, fears, thoughts, excitements about the fact that you're about to have a baby in the next 3 to 5 weeks? And then the second question, you know, will be what can you do to support yourself if any of the fears or thoughts that are difficult come up, or to support yourself in having that kind of birth experience that you long for? How can you support yourself have that?
Okay, great.
And then the third question we're going to explore with you is what can I, Figs, do to support you? Right. So there are the 3 questions. And think about it. It could be about anything. Right. It's like, let's say you were debating on should we live in London or Houston, Texas. Interesting choices. but, you know, like, let's say that was the debate and you guys are like going back and forth with each other and you're struggling to like understand each other, or like be on the same page. You could just take 30 minutes and actually each of you have 15 minutes each to answer those 3 questions and really listen to each other. Right. So we're going to do it. So the first question for you, Teal, right? Are you ready?
Yeah. I mean, I just want to say, yeah. I love this type of thing. I love, like, and I learned, I mean, I remember, actually, you and I did this, we did something like this
yeah.
at Esalen when we first met.
We did, again.
I was like, who is this guy? He's like, sit down. We're going to do some some right. mindfulness and then some questions. Yeah. I do love this, like, you yeah. just have such a bag of tricks. And this is great, right? Yeah. So for yeah. our beloved listeners, that this is not just about childbirth. This can be about any decision, like
totally.
Figs is saying, or any thought or fear or event. And here we are. We're going to go through the process of it using me and using our childbirth experience
yeah.
as the facilitator.
The topic.
As exactly. the topic for these 3 parts of these questions. Great. Well, I'm excited and I'm ready.
Brilliant.
I might cry, but we'll see.
We have tissues.
That's true. I mean, well, that
and
is.
And I'm just, here.
You are here. I'm so lucky that you are. I will say that birth makes me very emotional in general.
Right.
Like,
well,
it's tough to kind of even just talk about it or hear about other people's experiences without getting a little choked up for me.
Right.
So this is near and dear. So I'm excited.
Good. Me too. So okay. So first question, Tito.
Okay.
Is what are you excited about? What do you long for? What are your intentions? It's a very broad question, right?
Right.
Your intentions, and what do you fear, or what kind of thoughts do you have that kind of crowd your mind when you think about we're going to give birth to our baby boy, Kian, in the next 3 to 5 weeks at home, as long as it's in that 3 to 5 week window, right? Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, it is broad. And there's a lot that goes on in my mind, so I will work on making this concise. First of all, I think the biggest thing that comes up for me is joy. I feel that we're incredibly grateful or lucky, and I feel very grateful. In my every being that we get to have another baby, and I get to do it with you. I think you know, making it relational with you, which it is that I get to do this again with you. We've learned so much,
right?
You know, yeah. And I'm excited to put our learning to work with our second child, although of course it'll be different.
But let me just make sure if I'm getting it. Like, what just touched you right now was the together part.
Yeah.
Like, right now. Like, the part that just touched deep emotion for you is that, like, we're going to have a baby, but we're going to do it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's so beautiful. Yeah.
I think, you know, there's all sorts of unworthiness and stuff that I can have inside. So when maybe I thought, oh, gosh, the first time I got pregnant, I'm like, oh, my gosh, is this really happening? I get to do this with this person who I'm really head over heels with. And
thank you.
And are you getting shy?
Yeah, that was
okay.
Well,
I mean, it's true. And then wow, so the second time it's like, okay, it's not just
it wasn't a fluke.
It wasn't a fluke.
Do
wow
you use that word in America, a fluke? Obviously you knew what I meant.
It's a great question. I think it actually has two meanings.
Uh-oh.
Like it's a waterborne illness.
Yeah.
I just know that because my mom's a scientist.
Yeah. No, but anyway, so that's...
It wasn't a fluke. No, that is. That's where it kind of touches me is like, whoa, we're like this family and here we are having our second child. This wasn't a fluke the first time. We're like doing this. So
absolutely.
It touches places inside of me of kind of...
Yeah.
My worth and, you know.
You are worthy of being a mom, of being in a committed long-term relationship, of being loved, and us getting together and having a family and getting married and having grace. All of that isn't an accident.
Right.
It's like, holy crap, we're like having another baby. It's another like slap of self-worth in the face.
It does feel like that. Yeah. It does because I think there's parts of maybe all of us have parts of this like, or I don't know, I do, is that I kind of cling to some image of myself as being, you know, less than or dysfunctional or something. And so to have you like just say back to me, you're worthy of being a mother and in a committed relationship and having this beautiful daughter and having another child. Oh my gosh.
I know.
It's really like a slap in the face of my self-worth.
Yeah.
It's like, can I still hold on to that part that says, no, I'm not worthy. I'm dysfunctional. I'm that crazy anarchist kid that was jumping over fences.
You still trying to die. That is one of the most concerning parts of pregnancy for me.
Well, now well, I'm look, waddling. Come here.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Did you or did you not try and do handstands on your test day last
week? Oh my God, that's so embarrassing that you just brought that up.
Really?
I was. No, yeah. No. Okay, I know. Good. I loved I mean,
bring something up. You don't
I'm just me. Weird that I like even tried to do that. Anyway.
Yeah. For pregnant. Our... No handstands.
Yeah.
Come here. Look. Yeah. So that's really great. Like it touches, right? The, like the real warm fuzzies full of love that it's an us, a together thing.
Right.
Right. And that then, of course, touches all the self-worth stuff, the part of me that can feel unworthy, if yes. I'm speaking as you.
Yeah, you are.
And then also the part of me that then, like, holy crap, like, here's this whole new narrative life story that tells me that whole story that I'm, like, some, like, crazy anarchist that will still do handstands when I'm not supposed to. Or, like, you know, that I'm unworthy, that I'm broken, there's something wrong with me. That's actually not true. Because I have this whole evidence. I have a freaking husband. I have a daughter and I have another son on the way. We have our own dog and we're trying to steal our friend's dog. Well, we have another dog staying with us at the moment and we want to keep him.
We love our dog family.
We love our family, right? So, of course, that's amazing, right? So, yeah. Let me ask you this. Intention.
Yes.
For we're having a home birth. We did it before with Grace.
Right.
Right. And I wrote an article called A Father's Grace, and I'll share it in the show notes, about, which I always feel bad about. It's kind of like our home birth, right? You giving birth from my perspective. And then I got like, ooh, look at you. You wrote this beautiful article. I got all the accolades like for you giving birth.
That's I mean, it sad. Was all you celebrating me.
Well, okay, good.
But yeah, no, it was published in the Goodman Project. And
it was.
Anyway, it was. Yeah.
But don't get quiet.
Why? Well, you were talking.
I know. Well, come here. So look, so what are your intentions for the actual birth itself? Like once labor starts and we're like, this is it.
Okay. Okay, great question. This is a question or a part of my experience that Figs has heard recently.
Yes.
Because we do home birth meetings and we talk about some of this stuff. But it's still in process. And so one of my intentions during labor is to turn to Figs early on.
This fella right here.
What's the French word for you? Du.
Tu.
Tu. Okay.
Toi.
Toi.
I don't know what game of you.
Obviously.
But to me,
is to turn to you and to rely on you, to let you see my pain of early labor and to grip onto your hands and look into your face and shout into your chest and to be able to really turn to you during my suffering.
Great. So slow down here for a second.
Great.
Right? Because that sounds like, that's what you're supposed to do, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what everyone learns. Oh, you're supposed to support your partner. I'm supposed to be giving you massages and foot rubs and, like, you know, helping you breathe.
Right.
But that wasn't so simple with Grace.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit what actually happens for you in the moment. So there's a reason that this is an intention. Right, because it isn't necessarily that easy to follow through with that intention, or it may not actually be what your body actually instinctually goes for in labor.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And it may not even be something. So I feel a little bit gentle on this intention for myself and hopefully for you.
Good, yeah.
Is, you know, that might be part of my sort of animal instinct, which was to sort of do a lot of the tough labor stuff by myself, locked in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to bring it up, but Teal actually had almost all her contractions locked in the bathroom on her own.
I would run into the bathroom to have the contraction.
With Grace, obviously.
In my belly.
Right.
So, and that was okay, and it wasn't terrible, and I did it. I mean, Jesus, I got through a home birth and birthed a beautiful baby and was healthy and in the process and experienced so much joy and, you know, pain.
Yeah.
I have that intention to turn to you in my moments of greatest distress, physical distress, and rely on you. Because I think, you know, going back to these parts that can question my worth and all this stuff is, I think being witnessed in pain and having someone show up for me is like outrageous for me to imagine.
Well, yeah, but what do you mean when you say it's outrageous to imagine?
It's like there's a part of me that longs so much to know that you really want to be there for me, that you can kind of handle my intensity, and that it's not some, you know, just inherently negative part of me, or that I shouldn't just bear it by myself.
Right.
It's hard. You're going through something hard. Go deal with it, you know.
Right. So hold on a second, just so I make sure this is like, you know, again, because I'm really slow, right? You know, I'm like Rufus, the dog that we have right now that we're housing. Ooh,
okay. Good. You can't say that. Rufus is not
Rufus
slow.
Is lovely. But he's just big and kind of like a little slow moving, right? But come here. So if I'm getting it, right, there's the part of you that actually really longs to be able to reach out when you're in pain and be able to rely on me to be there for you and support you when you're hurting, and it would be okay, and you won't be too much, and it won't be too intense that what you're going through, that I'll be able to stand there and you could actually let my love and support in.
Yes.
But because you have had in your life experiences where you haven't really felt you could rely on someone to be there when you're really hurting.
Right.
Even having the intention, there's still this part of you that leans towards self-reliance, to doing it myself, to going to the bathroom and locking the door, and I gotta go through this pain alone.
Right.
Right. So we wanna honor, if I'm getting it, I wanna honor both. I wanna be able to reach out and be with you and know that it's okay for me to be me, but there is this other part of me that has been developed over my whole life where I can get so self-reliant that I gotta go into the bathroom all on my own because this is too much. It'd be too intense for you, Figs. This is not a nice part of me when I'm hurting.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, what's it like to hear me just reflect it back to you?
I love, it's so helpful to have a reframe back just of my experience, kind of, just having you mirror what I'm saying. It's
right.
I mean, it's emotional, but I'm also able to look at it kind of like, I guess I'm just having empathy for myself right now.
Yeah, good.
And you know, and it's like, I really want to make it clear to myself that if I did, again, the second labor, you know, 98% of my contractions alone in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And that there was one or two moments where I looked at you and just kind of tried it, like, here I am.
Right.
Can
I just say one thing?
By the way,
the thing that really struck me, I'll tell you what was really emotional for me immediately when you started off talking about it is outrageous. You said the word, it is outrageous for me to imagine, right, that you could really lean into me.
Yeah.
That, like, is really painful, right? To think that a human being, and look, and you know, let's be clear, I really believe these are universal kind of feelings.
Right.
Everybody has an outrageous place, right? There's no way I could ask for that. Or there's no way I could be vulnerable and someone would love me. Everybody has some version of it, right? But that really is that door. That's that place, that door to your vulnerable place. Like, that I could be in pain and I could reach out and I won't be too much and you'll actually be there. That's that's an outrageous idea, right? Like, it's amazing, right? That really is an amazing doorway into that most vulnerable part of you.
Right.
Yeah. That really helps me. It really helps me better understand what actually is happening for you, because this is your part, but I can get really like feel powerless when, like, you know, I want to support you through labor, and like the thing that I was supposed to do, I'm supposed to be massaging you and helping you breathe through the contractions and you can lean on me, and you were in the bathroom all on your own. And I didn't know what to do and I felt powerless. And of course, when I go to those places, you know, where you're like self-reliant, I have to do it myself.
Right.
My kind of deepest response in moments like that where I feel powerless is to almost like shut down and collapse.
Right.
I just like, because it can just be so hard. So this is so helpful to just really, really feel that part inside you that, look, it's just that it's outrageous to believe that you really hear. And I do this thing. I do this self-reliant thing in bathrooms. And so then just, well, I just feel like it's going to help me not go into the kind of collapse or shutdown place.
Oh, you know what I mean? That's so amazing to hear that part of me, like sharing that part of me that feels like, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, kind of so ashamed. And, you know, that hearing that for you, you're like, oh, that helps me.
It really
helps. That helps me because I can be this, I can like shut down because I can feel like, where'd she go? And I have all these expectations of myself and this isn't going like how we thought it would go. And
I know.
You know, and so I'm touched by you saying that. That helps me know that it helps you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. That's great. Well, it's brilliant because I think it gives us some flexibility emotionally in the process. Hopefully, right? You know, once we're in the heat of battle, like, labor, baby, freaking coming. We'll see, you know, what it's like. But it helps me give myself some empathy and permission and you more openness and space around the deeper emotional process, right? That's going to come up for both of us. Attachment issues will come up for both of us through labor.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Right. I mean,
it's intensified.
It's way intensified. I'm just going to interject this little piece to this story, right? That the way that I'm able to reflect and say, hey, here's one of my intentions for this time.
Yeah.
Is not because... Here's how we got here.
Here. Go on. Tell me what to hear.
Well, here in talking about this part of my wanting to rely on you during birth is that there was a very powerful moment during our labor with Grace.
Right.
Where, yes, I had been self-reliant as best as I could by myself in the bathrooms. Finally, the midwives were able to transition me out of the bathrooms, into our birth room, eventually onto the bed. Everything took a lot of coaxing and a lot of strength on my part because there I was being viewed by other people in extreme agony. And in those moments, I felt a real strong connection to the women in the room. I needed the midwives.
Right.
I needed exactly, it was like almost biochemical. I needed this primal part of me needed their coaxing.
Yeah.
There was a moment where I finally looked over at you, Figs, and you were on a couch in the same room looking at me. And there was a moment of, I think it was one of the strongest moments of our connection, and it was quite anguished between each of us.
Right.
I saw how sort of...
Right.
Not left out, but like you were underutilized.
Yeah.
And I had sort of spun into here I am doing it by myself.
Totally.
And there was a moment where we came to each other and you came and you kissed my face and held my face and finally there was just like this clarity after a storm and we were able to process it afterwards.
Yeah.
You said that was really painful for me and I totally understand. Yeah. You were doing what you needed to do. It's not like you were mad at me, but you helped me get a little bit of your suffering.
Right.
And that woke up in me, oh my gosh, he wanted to be there for me.
Yeah.
I have this way that sometimes, because of my hurt, my wounds from the past, I can really just try to gather it all inside and do it by myself. So you really, that helped.
Yeah, well, that's amazing, right? I love hearing that. And I remember it was really painful where I didn't feel like there was anything I could do. And I'm just sitting on the side and it's you and the two midwives. And I'm just like, okay, can I just disappear now? Because, like, am I just the, like, fourth wheel? But here's the thing, what you just described is what I try and you try to get couples to do. And this is this weird thing, is the place where we connected to each other is the place where people can best connect with each other. And that is in this place where we got dive down into those emotional places where it's so painful and my instinct is to go self-reliant for you. Or for me, it's so painful, I'm all alone, I'm worthless, there's no part of place for me here, and my instinct is to shut down. And down there, that's the place where I need to know there's someone I could reach out to for you. And for me, there's actually, I could reach out and be enough for someone.
Yeah.
And we did it. And we did it right before our freaking daughter was born, right? We had this deep emotional healing, reparative, attachment, bonding connection from the places where I was totally in collapse and you were totally self-reliant.
Right.
High five.
That was amazing.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
It was amazing.
And that's this part that, you know, we try and help people do in our office, which is weird because it seems paradoxical that we march people to the painful places, to the painful emotional places, not because we're sadists, but because it's the place where people can find each other again.
Right.
It's the place where the healing most wants to happen. So come here. Look, that's brilliant. It's really exciting.
It is.
So come here. What are you going to do
okay
to support yourself around this intention of I want to be able to rely on you, fix? Like if those kind of, like, if the instinct or the urge or the impulse to be self-reliant comes up, what are you going to do to support yourself?
Great. So I think leading up to it even will be an important part of the process. It's kind of like exercising a muscle just recognizing that's a lovable part of me, that it comes from a hurt part of me.
Beautiful.
And I bypass it, I judge it, move away from it a lot, and that actually that is part of my experience. And so I think even just having this conversation, I'm going to think about it more.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to be a little bit gentle with that part. I'm going to breathe. You know, I think that's it. I think just kind of reflecting on this conversation, it helps me that I was able to even kind of get to the place where I'm laying out one of my big fears.
Right.
And
But let me again, because of the slow, the slow part, you know, it's like, if I get it, you're saying that the part of me that can judge myself about being unworthy and getting all self-reliant or that no one could be there for me, those stories, if those stories come up, you're actually going to be very kind and accepting of yourself. I mean,
absolutely. Yes, that's my intention.
Yeah.
I guess my fear, even, and I'll just plug this in really quick, is that I won't think about this, that this is a part of myself but this is calling me into thinking about
it. Right, absolutely. And so you, if I look, so here's it's terrible to be leading you a little bit, right? But here's what I hear in one way you're saying. You have a resource inside you. You have some part of you inside you that knows, hey, don't be mean to yourself about feeling this way, right? Like that voice inside you, you're going to see if you can find it. And you don't know if you will. It may be so overwhelming, Bert, you'll be back in the bathroom. We're going to have to break the lock.
Well, also, I mean, the bathroom, I want, and this is another thing I'm going to do for myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it be okay if that's what I need. Because that might be a totally animal part, but now I've made it psychological. I've made it this other part.
Yeah.
Or it has, or it's both, or it's all of it.
Exactly.
But exactly. And as I'm talking about it, I'm feeling so loving to that part of myself.
Good.
Like I just feel
that's
like,
great.
Oh, like there's a kind of like a crumbling, like,
yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. Little
right,
that sweet little one, that sweet little teal,
God, yeah,
really can feel so independent and isolated, and this is the only way that I can do it, because I haven't always felt like someone could be there for me.
Right. Yeah. So you've given yourself permission to have that part, right? And just that is huge. Instead of it being, this is this thing I do, and I judge myself for doing it, and maybe I'm being too much, or whatever it is, right? Just giving yourself permission to have your impulses and reactions, and it's okay.
Yes.
So you have that resource inside yourself. Let me ask you this. Is there anything else in that moment? So look, here's the way, like, you know, so there's the part of you... There's the part of you that, like, has learned to be self-reliant. Yes. And you're going to give yourself permission for that part. Right. Yes. And so the part of you that's giving you permission, that's like a resource. The part of you to get self-reliant is a resource. It's a part of you that you have developed over the years to be there for yourself.
Adaptive.
And then there's this part of you that actually can be kind to that part. That can sit and look at that part of you and be kind to it.
Yes.
That's a resource. There are two different resources. Now... Here's the leading question. Will there be any other resource in the house with you that you could possibly, and I know you mightn't be able to, and that's okay, but is there any other resource that will be with you that you could possibly imagine reaching out to, even though your other impulses tell you to do something different?
Yes.
What's that?
Well, that's the third part.
Yeah.
Which is you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask this. Okay. Could you imagine? Mm-hmm. Not now. You don't have to do it. Remember, we have total permission not to do it. But what's it like to imagine in that moment where my impulse is to go self-reliant and go into that bathroom, but to somehow, just even right now, to imagine, and actually what I'm going to do is risk reaching out to you, even though maybe I'm going to be too much, maybe this is too painful, maybe it's outrageous to think you'll actually be here for me.
Right.
What's it like just to even imagine?
It's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting, though.
Totally.
You know what's so weird is as you're asking me that,
yeah,
I'm seeing just like a flood of these things that you do for me that help bolster, like, because I think my initial thing is fear.
Yeah.
Part of that is also, yeah, and here are these ways that he lets you know it's okay to rely on him.
Right.
So it's like part of me is I'm having like two experiences, the fear of something new and the excitement of, wait, something new.
Right.
I could really turn to figs and just be like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This is horrible. Please just like hold my like aching, writhing body.
Right.
Or look in my eyes where I don't look hot and I'm disheveled. Yeah. And
right.
I remember last time I think I might have just been naked, like with some weird shorts on.
But so look, that's a big deal, right? So one, there's the resource of of going to the bathroom, of being self-reliant.
Right.
Fucking embrace it. It's there for a reason. There's great intelligence in it, right? You needed to develop that resource that you can be self-reliant.
That's true.
Two, there's the resource of looking at that part of you with kindness, not judgment, right? Like, yeah, I'm doing that thing. And I'm actually looking at that part going, yeah, you go, girl, right? You do what you got to do.
Right.
Right? And you're giving yourself permission. And then three, there's this other possibility. Just even to hold it as an open possibility, that's exciting and scary, that I might actually also be able to reach out to you, me.
Right.
And I'll be there for you. I'm going to be there for you. It's not going to be too much.
Right.
What just happened when I said that to you right now?
Well, I think that was like my follow-up question was like, well, I've been talking about like all my fears.
Yeah.
Like... are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Okay.
Completely. Absolutely. Every second.
Can you just know that I get scared?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be there. I'm scared to reach out to you sometimes.
I know, sweetie. It's okay. I love you. I'm going to be there the whole time. even if you're scared and even if you can't reach out, I'm here.
Thank you. Very emotional.
I know, sweetie. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
This is it. We're going into that cauldron, right? Where you fucking need me the most. I'm going to be there for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just such an amazing conversation to have, right, for me.
Absolutely.
So healing just in this moment. And I also want to say, I'm also hopeful that if I do that self-reliant thing, you understand more about it.
Right. And so also, this is, we're getting into the, like, what can I do to support you, right? The third question.
Okay.
So it's great. It just naturally is happening, right?
Okay.
So what can I do? What is it? And this, so the first, like, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to knock you off your flow.
Oh, no. No, that's good.
What can I do?
I mean, I think you just did it.
Yeah.
I think you just did it. Just.
If you were to ask. Just like you did, right? So what can I do to support you?
I think maybe, like, if you, like, hold my face and just tell me, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm here.
I will.
And just, like, well, just remember, like, all the stuff that's in that statement, that question.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a big question. Will you hold my face? It's much bigger than that, right?
Yeah.
It's a big question.
Yeah.
Will I be there for you? Will I love you even if you're in pain, even if you're having intense feelings?
Yeah.
And the answer is absolutely yes.
Oh.
I'm going to be there the whole time.
That's right? Great.
You know, and it's medicine for me because when... And it's okay if I have these feelings, but if I feel like I don't know how to help, I can collapse. And so the medicine is actually this part where I can be called to actually be there for you, right? That I'm actually enough to help you.
Yes.
Is huge. That's actually like, yes.
Oh,
right?
I
really want to be there, sweetie, all the way. And that includes being there if you're self-reliant. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to go away. I'm not going to give up on you or judge you. And I'm going to give myself permission too for the parts of me that can feel powerless and the call to collapse if I can't help.
Right.
But I'm freaking there. I'm freaking there.
That's so great. That's so wonderful.
Yeah. So just like, you know, I'm conscious of how long the podcast is going, right? But probably shouldn't be, right? Because it's really for us.
It is.
Yeah. So, come here. Let me ask you this. If we look back on this conversation now, from the moment we started talking to... talking about what our goals, our intention is, and talking about what your fears are, talking about the ways in which it's really hard to let my love in a moment where you're in so much intense pain, you go to the self-reliant place, and the ways in which you're going to support yourself, let yourself have that self-reliant part, this huge intelligence in it, but also not judge that part of you, and also even just imagine just a teeny little that you could reach out to me and I will love you and be there for you, and you're able to ask me for it, that thing that's so scary, you just friggin' ass, right? You did it.
Right.
And taking in me, like, looking at you and, like, feeling it and wanting to actually be there for you and telling you I'm here and I'm gonna freaking be here. What's it like as you look back on all of this right now that we just discussed?
It's such a journey. Like, it feels so different. And I feel more fearless.
Great.
I'm just about the whole event.
Right.
I'm like... oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know how it's all going to go down, but like just the fact that I shared with you and that you like expressed, you got a moment to see what was inside for me.
Right.
And when you did, you didn't shy away and say, you got to be self-reliant. Right. You were like, you were like, oh my gosh, that's medicine for me.
Right.
That's what you said.
Exactly.
I'm like always going to remember that.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, whoa. And so.
That's huge, right? That the thing that you're most scared of that would drive me away or that you'll be too much is actually the part for me that is medicine.
Yes. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Right.
It's amazing. No, it is. It's such a big deal. That's such a, like, turns everything on its head. right? Yes. Letting that in, just even a little bit, letting that like just like seep through your body, through your pores. Like, holy crap, the part that I can think is too much is actually the medicine for my husband, little Fig.
Le Fig.
I was going to say Le Fig, but you know, I don't actually speak French.
We've got a French theme going. We've said like probably 2.5 words.
So come here. Look, amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm touched.
Yeah, it's me too.
Helpful, and I feel, you know, less fearful about childbirth. Wow, which is like...
That's good.
That was a thumbs up.
So is there anything that feels... just important? I mean, there's so much, right? And this will be an ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And then the act itself, the experience itself. Is there anything that feels unsaid right now in closing this conversation, this moment, even though it will continue between us?
I think that it feels very complete for me. You know, it's vulnerable to share about kind of the ways that I can judge myself. And I feel well received. I feel like, you know, I'm going to go back to that word medicine.
Right.
For you. And that helps kind of just reassure me and calm my nervous system down. Yeah. If I feel sort of like, oh, what did I just say? Yeah. What did I let everyone know about? So, by the way, I feel very complete, and I'm feel less fearful, and I feel more excited, and I'm just happy again to be doing it with you, Figs.
Thanks.
Yeah. I know that's vulnerable for you.
No, it's great. I love it. It's great. You know, I have my own like self-word parts, but so it's lovely to hear you say that. Mm. And I'm so excited to be having our second baby with you. Yes. And being a husband and a dad, and holy crap, it's amazing. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. And that we can share our journey like we're doing so openly. It's, I think, really important.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, great. So, thank you for watching, listening, subscribe to the podcast. Teal and I are definitely going to do more. Maybe one day this is all we'll do, because no one's going to want to listen to me on my own. But we'll definitely do more interviews together. Subscribe, find me on social media. There'll be a new episode on Tuesday. And of course, we're going to do a post-birth one.
Yes.
To be determined when. Right. But thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
The Empathy with Figs podcast and Who Are You in Love interview series are not to be confused with individual or couples psychotherapy. In this podcast, I provide coaching and content for informational and entertainment purposes only. Listening or watching this podcast cannot replace the specialized training and professional judgment of a mental health care provider. If you are experiencing a medical or psychiatric emergency, please call 911 or reach out to your medical doctor.